This is an ABC podcast.
Live across Victoria.
On the ABC Listen app.
Your smart speaker.
And on your radio.
This is ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
The conversations that are important to you. In your town, your suburb.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt.
If you are blind or if you have low vision, how hard has it been for you to get work, to apply for jobs and just to find meaningful employment? And as an employer, how set up is your workplace for people who have low vision? What's your application process like? Does it discriminate? Did you know that 24% of people who are blind or who have low vision are employed? Only 24%. So how can that number change? If this impacts you, our number's 1-300-222-774. And also this hour, hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar lands in Melbourne today, but he heads to Ballarat on Saturday. Apparently it's just a fly-in, fly-out to the Rat. So if we were to entice him to stay for 24 hours in Ballarat, where would he go? What would his itinerary look like? Sovereign Hill, maybe? What about a quick trot, quick run around Lake Wendouree? If you live in Ballarat, where do you think Kendrick Lamar should go? Over the next 50 minutes, let's come up with a list. Let's create a top five places in Ballarat that Kendrick Lamar must see.
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Good morning, my name's Rochelle Hunt. Today is International Day of People with a Disability. And did you know that only 24% of people who are blind or who have low vision have a job? So how can we change that number? If you have low vision, if you are blind, what is the job application process for you like? How easy, how difficult has it been to get work and to get meaningful employment? And if you are an employee, small or large or medium, do you think about this? Do you think about your application process? Do you think about just your working environment to ensure that if people do have low vision, that that can be a workplace for them? Chris Edwards is the General Manager of Corporate Affairs and Advocacy for Vision Australia. And Chris, you are blind yourself as a result of a condition called retinitis pigmentosa. And you have, and we've spoken about your beautiful seeing eye dog Eva in the past. How hard has it been for you over the years, Chris, to get a job?
Look, it's a very challenging process. And I think a lot of it comes down to the attitude of employers and knowing, you know, the steps that they can put in place to ensure that, you know, someone like myself can easily get a job. And I think that, you know, what I see is when, you know, have applied for positions, people, you know, automatically think because you're blind, you know, you can be a work health and safety risk, your productivity is not going to be as good, you're going to need a huge amount of support by other colleagues within the workplace to be effective, and all of those are complete myths. And so, you know, we're really keen to ensure that, you know, that employer attitudes change.
In a recent survey that Vision Australia conducted, which gave us the result that only 24% of people who are blind or who have low vision have a job or have some type of employment, one bit jumped out to me, and one of the men who was a part of the survey said that it felt like he was going to be a cost or a problem to the workplace. And at times he was even asked if he could do the job. Is that common, Chris? Do people feel like, oh gosh, you know, people think I'm going to be a burden, that I'm going to cost more, that it's going to impact the workplace in so many different ways?
Yeah, look, it is a genuine problem, and it's that lack of understanding. And sometimes it's, you know, an unconscious bias. So people don't recognise that they have got, you know, this view of, you know, the capability of blind people. And other times it, you know, can be a bit more conscious to say that, to do that. And I think that what's really important is that, You know, when you're thinking about employing someone who is blind or low vision, it's about, you know, realizing that maybe their CV might look a little bit different than, you know, a sighted person, because they may not have had the same opportunities when they're young to do that Macca's job. Their focus has been on getting through their studies and doing all of those sorts of things. And sometimes you're actually sort of looking a bit more deeply in the CV and actually looking at, you know, what they've done and what their capability is that, you know, giving that person a job, you know, what we know is that, you know, they're likely to stay with the company longer and be able to provide, you know, a more diverse view within the workplace about, you know, what their customer base is and what some marketing ideas and all the things that, a range of voices can do.
Chris Edwards is with you, General Manager of Corporate Affairs and Advocacy for Vision Australia. We're talking about the fact that only 24% of people who are blind or who have low vision have employment. How can we change that? Chris, let's have a chat to Joe, who's called from Bayswater. Morning, Joe.
Hi, how are you going?
Really well. What did you want to share?
Well, I just wanted to share that I really get this. My 29-year-old son, probably, I think it was 2020, had a brain bleed and it has affected his vision. And just out of nowhere, he was on a shoot. He was actually shooting a documentary for Channel 10.
Wow.
And he had a brain bleed and it's affected his vision, so he's no longer allowed to drive or do things like that. He can't, so he had a van set up with all his video equipment, and, well, he can't do that anymore. So it's just a tricky thing to know when you've got a CV for a sighted person. And then now he's lost so much vision. And the funny thing is, there's nothing wrong with his eyes, it's just the brain is not connecting anymore. So... yeah, he has a lot of trouble, and even just adjusting to the low vision, you know, getting around.
So, yeah, right. So how does it go sort of advocating for himself, Joe, and making sure that you can even get through that application process? Like as Chris said, you know, people might think, oh, this CV looks different, or I can't quite figure out what this is here. And especially now that we have AI doing a lot of that processing of job applications for us, how has it changed it for him?
Well, it's more trying to find out what he can do now, because there's a lot that he can't do. So he's in this place where he's doing some jobs, but they're very minor to what he used to do. He's sort of backup support camera, that sort of thing. I guess people, and then if he's worked, people might go, oh, well, not that great, or he ran into things on set, or, you know.
And so even getting through that process is tricky at the best of times, you know, in order to be able to even get to an interview part of the process. We know that's just so hard, and so often, Joe, for many of us, even if we don't have low vision, we don't get jobs and we're never told why. So you never really know. It's such a guessing game, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how's he going at the moment, Joe? Has he got a job at the moment?
Look, he's fabulous, but he's he has a few communication issues as well. So yeah, it's tricky for him. He's got a great attitude, but I tell you what, it's been a big adjustment for him, just trying to...
I can imagine being big for him and for you.
Yeah, and for his wife, yeah. You know. It's a huge adjustment. So.
Joe, thank you. Yeah. Chris, I could imagine you're probably nodding along there with Joe.
Yeah, it's you know, and I think I always think of it in twofold. It's about... obviously, there's an adjustment phase, and you know, that means that people have to build some new skills to be able to live a life with, you know, less vision. And, you know, and that's obviously something that Vision Australia, you know, prides itself on, is to be able to, you know, teach people how to use assistive technologies and strategies and mobility aids and those sorts of things. But yeah, you know, even with all those capabilities of being able to, you know, work within sort of an environment like Joe was talking about, yeah, you know, there's still that attitude of employers to say, well, you know, I think we can give this a go. You know, it won't take a lot of adjustments, and we can actually get an experience for that individual that can contribute just as successfully to our workplace as our other work colleagues.
Your dog Eva is your assistance dog. You're seeing our dog Eva. What about, and we know that, oh gosh, I mean, it's just so frustrating that, you know, we are in the year that we are in, and we hear time and time again that people still have issues with being able to get their dogs into cabs and to Ubers and into all sorts of places. What about dogs in workplaces? Where are we at with that, Chris? Is that still an issue? Are people worried about that, or are we getting better?
Look, I think that overall in workplaces, people, you know, do understand it. I think that, the law is really clear that they are allowed in all public places. And, you know, in most times the employer is right. Every now and again we get a landlord, you know, that's a landlord of a big building, and saying, no, that person can't have a dog. And so it is about that education back to those landlords to say that, hold up, you don't have a choice, that, you know, that the law is very clear, but it also just to recognise that, you know, these dogs are so superbly behaved, you know, they're very clean, you hardly know that they're in the workplace. And, you know, apart from, you know, colleagues actually like having them around.
Yeah, totally.
And, and it makes the workplace feel good having a dog in the that is
people
so well
are actively trying
workplace.
To get dogs into workplaces. So this is a win-win, right?
It is. You know, I've got my dog who's sitting there in the corner next to my desk. And, you know, and during the day people, you know, love coming by and just saying hello. And as long as they're not sort of interrupting us when we work, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, pop that at the top of your CV, right? It might get you an interview. Have cute dog. All right, you're in.
Yeah, that's right.
Chris, given that today is International Day of People with a Disability, and quite often these days people might say, oh gosh, another day, you know, there's always a day of something. However, they are important, because if just for a moment people check their unconscious bias, they look at their surroundings, they think, oh, actually, now that CV that I read last week, last month, last year, maybe that's what was going on and it didn't even enter my mind, and it might change their thought process the next time they're hiring.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, people just recognising that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, diverse people out in the community, and that, you know, people with a disability, you know, I think in some figures say 20% of people live with some sort of disability. And that, you know, if you have a workplace that is representative of the community, surely it has to make you a better business.
Chris, always good to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Rochelle.
Chris Edwards, General Manager of Corporate Affairs and Advocacy for Vision Australia. If you are hiring, if you're thinking about putting a call out for more employees, apologies at the moment, maybe just think twice about, does your application process, does it discriminate against people who are blind or have low vision? Or if you receive a CV, you receive an application and something seems a little different, maybe just change your thought process a little. We've also been asking where hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar should go in Ballarat. He flies into Australia today. He'll fly into Melbourne. However, on the weekend, he's headlining big festival in Ballarat. He will be in the RAT, but he's not staying for long. So how do we convince him to stay for longer? What are the top five places Kendrick Lamar should go in Ballarat? We're going to try and create a list. We've already got some great ones. I'm from Melbourne, but I've been working in Ballarat for the last couple of months. Ballarat has the strongest sandwich game in Australia. Not kidding. Wow, that's a big call. Kendrick Lamar has to get at least one sandwich in, says this text. Choices are Pat's Sandwiches, Tim's Toasties and Johnny Earl's Dallies, as well as the Turret Cafe. The list goes on and on and on. Another says, I reckon Kendrick should go to Bunch of Grapes for a Palmer and a schooner of draft, says Dave. And another says the best place to visit in Ballarat is Bendigo. Wow-wee, that's a little harsh. Carl's in Ballarat. Hi, Carl. Sandwiches apparently are on the top of the list.
Oh, definitely. definitely. Okay, you know, it's totally shocked me how much better the sandwiches are in Ballarat than Melbourne.
So what makes them better?
Well, I'm a tradie, so one of the pleasures of the day is going and getting a lunch in a different suburb pretty much every week. And I was expecting Ballarat to be totally subpar. No, not at all. Not at all. Like, seriously, Pat sandwiches.
Yeah.
The chicken schnitzel sandwich from there is like heaven between two slices of bread.
All right, Pat Sanger's, not that we should be promoting on, you know, ABC radio, but a schnitzel sandwich at Pat Sanger's, you reckon, should be on the top five list?
Totally. I mean, you know, if he's vegetarian, tell him to get the classic veg. It's amazing.
So what about Sovereign Hill, the classics, you know, like Wendouree, Sovereign Hill? Should they be on the list, Carl?
Well, I haven't been there since I was about eight, so I don't think I'd be... Surely it's a bit cheesy, don't you think?
I don't know. Cheesy or classic?
I'm surely, you know, Kendrick's got to be a little bit sort of cool and into more modern things, surely, than a bit of gold rush digging and panning.
Oh, it's retro. It's retro, baby. Good on your car.
Maybe he could pan himself enough gold to get a new chain.
I think he's got enough gold, just quietly. Good on you. Kendrick needs to come to my place for a barbecue, says this text. JB's in Ballarat as well. G'day, JB.
G'day, how you going there?
What should be on our list? So far, we've got Pat Sanger's, the schnitzel sandwich from Pat.
They could definitely do one of like Ballarat's ghost tours, or it's a Eureka 171 today, so it's pretty close to maybe checking out the Eureka area. Mm-hmm. Swimming area, jump off Creswick Towers. We could see him jumping off the top one of that out at Callumbeen Lake or even Lake Esmond.
Oh, a couple of lakes, you reckon? You're getting a bit of a lake tour.
Yeah, good weather tomorrow, but sad day might have a little bit of water about. But number one thing would be for him to maybe touch base with all those who are under 18 that can't go to his concerts.
Well, that's a good idea too, isn't it? What if he did a little pop-up show somewhere?
Yeah, that would be great if we were able to get something. Or even come to the fence where all the under 18s will be there ready to try and... Yeah, have a look, a closer look, if I could say it in that form. Or, you know, all the under 16s that are even going to lose the social media thing next week. They're getting a double hit, Ballarat kids, or this week anyway.
Good on you. I love some of these ideas coming through. This in Ballarat, he should go to 1816 or 1816 Bakery for some sourdough and cheesecake. Ooh, and then go to Renard's for cocktails and goat's cheese donuts. Yeah, man, I'm going for some goat cheese donuts. I'm feeling like the food game is very strong in Ballarat. So hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar flying into Melbourne today. He heads to Ballarat on the weekend, but apparently he's not staying long. So over the next half an hour or so, we are trying to come up with a top five list to make him stay. All right, so far it's all food. If you've got some other ideas, maybe the Lake Wendouree. Let's put Lake Wendouree on the list as well. Got goat's cheese donuts. And we've got a schnitzel sandwich from Pat.
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
So hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar flies into Melbourne today, performing here, then heads to Ballarat on the weekend, headlining one of the big festivals there. But apparently he's not staying very long in Ballarat. We are trying to change that. We are making an itinerary list for Kendrick Lamar. At the moment, it's kind of about food. However, this has just come through. Ballarat Wildlife Park is number one. Number two, we've got a whole list here. This is from Phil. Loving this, Phil. Number two, the Tin Roof Cafe. Number three, Sovereign Hill. Number four, Rediscovery Records. Oh, good. We didn't have a record store on there. Very clever. And the last one, number five, the Boat Shed Restaurant on Lake Wendouree. Phil, you have thought about this. I'm impressed. Laura Mayers is a reporter for ABC Ballarat, also filling in for Matt Tribe on Central and Western Victoria's Saturday Breakfast this weekend. Laura, that was pretty comprehensive from Phil. We've got the Wildlife Park, the Tin Roof Cafe, Sovereign Hill, Rediscovery Records, and the Boat Shed Restaurant on Lake Wendouree. What do you reckon?
Honestly, took the words right out of my mouth. You don't even need me here, mate.
Phil's got it covered.
Yeah, it's so funny. Rediscovery Records was at the top of my list.
So tell me about it. What makes it good?
It is brilliant. Down on Main Street in sort of the Golden Point area, it's this little record shop on this Main Street next to a lot of vintage stores. It's very cool. Tons of great records there. Sometimes they have live music. It's brilliant. I mean, he's a music lover. He's a musician. So yeah, it'd be the top of the list for me. Also, just a really great small business.
Could you imagine what would happen if he just like wandered on in to Rediscovery?
I truly cannot even imagine what the reaction would be. I imagine there would be a lot of freezing and confusion, but I mean, you know, what else would you dream of as a record store owner other than a giant headliner act wandering into your
just flipping through the records, flipping through the vinyl,
having a look. You would have to go up,
put some of his records in the window. Do you reckon that would bring him in or turn him off?
Ooh, I don't know. He does have a song called Humble. So you gotta wonder if maybe he's like, nah, I can't do that. I'll have to turn around now.
So are you a big Kendrick Lamar fan, Laura?
I absolutely am. I am very excited for this Saturday. He's on Spilt Milk Festival, 10:30 at night, which for those of us who are over the age of 30 is perhaps going to be something of a tricky feat for me, but it's fine. I'll have a nap during the day. It'll be great. He's got some brilliant music. I think he's really more than a rap artist. A lot of people might not know this, but a lot of his songs are these sort of indictments on American culture. You know, they go a lot deeper than sometimes they appear. I encourage people to go and take a look at his lyrics.
They're quite intense. Like, you've really got to listen. I was listening today and I was like, wow. Like, yeah. I mean, first things first was, how does he even manage to do that? But then to try and listen and pick up on it all. How has it been received to have someone like a hip hop artist like Kendrick Lamar? How have the locals in Ballarat sort of taken to the concept of having someone like him headline that festival?
Oh my gosh, everybody is so excited. There's like a real sense of anticipation across Ballarat today, I think, especially because last year Spilt Milk had to be cancelled.
Of course,
obviously, you know, we had been having these discussions recently about festivals in general across regional Victoria, you know, kind of being on the decline. So this has been a real, I guess, a commendation in that we've got, you know, like accommodation across the city is booked out. People are really excited. We're expecting more than 40,000 people, mainly visitors, attending just that one day, festival. Also, it's sunny and warm here in Ballarat today, which doesn't really happen very often here for anyone who's ever been here and had
it's a false sense of security for Kendrick Lamar that it's nice and sunny. So there's some other places to potentially add to our list. We're trying to find the top five list. So we're creating a little itinerary to entice Kendrick Lamar to stay a little longer in Ballarat. What about Cryle Castle, Laura? What do you think?
Love Cryle Castle. Mm-hmm. I will talk about Cryle Castle until the bells come home. They sometimes do jousting.
They also hold raves and music events as well.
They do. They host dinners. They have raves. They have, obviously, you know, weekend days for children. So it's a great place to take your kids. It is a really fun place to go. Also, if you're looking for another place to add to the list, I can't believe people haven't thought of this one. The Ballarat Botanic Gardens.
Yeah, I've had that come through a little bit. Yep.
Ah, Dan, everyone's taking the words out of my mouth. Yeah, it's a really good one. And I know that you've had your fair share of suggestions in terms of food and drink in Ballarat, but we really are. I mean, we're a great food city, and I'm not just saying that because of our proximity to Melbourne. We are a brilliant food city in our own right. It was really funny getting all those texts in about all of the sandwiches and the sandwich game in Ballarat.
Oh, yeah.
I literally just finished a sandwich. So I felt a little called out by that, actually.
What about the Ballarat Cup? Is that coming up? Lots of people saying Ballarat Cup, he should go to that. And Greg also says he could judge the fashion on the field beforehand. Oh.
Would love that. Mm. That would be incredible. I think that's this weekend, or at least I understand that it is. And would we need to explain to him fashions in the field? I don't know if that's a thing they really do in America. I don't know if they have a lot of I mean, there's the Kentucky Derby, I guess. Maybe that might be something they do there. But no, I think that would be brilliant. We'd have to really bring our A game, though, I think.
So it's also today is the anniversary of Eureka Stockade. So I'm not sure whether anything that will continue on to the weekend that maybe Kendrick Lamar could go to. But just generally across the day, how is this day being marked in Ballarat today?
Well, we always do something here in Ballarat, you know, through the council. And I do know that there is something happening at Eureka Park. There's often little celebrations. And obviously we have the Eureka Museum as well. So, you know, if he got an extra half hour, we could take him through the museum. I think he'd love it.
You could be his tour guide.
And I would happily do that. Happily.
Laura, have a great weekend.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Laura Mayers, reporter for ABC Ballarat, also filling in for Matt Tribe this weekend on Central and Western Victoria Saturday Breakfast. Cheryl Lee's in Echuca. Cheryl Lee, where would you send Kendrick Lamar in Ballarat?
Hi, it's Shirley.
Sorry.
Hey, look, if he's into books and yummy stationery, I'm not sure if he would. But the original Collins bookstore's in Ballarat.
Oh.
It's stunning. It's like a three shops all in the one.
Yeah.
And it's got fireplaces and it's all old worldy and it's got the best books and it's just a wonderful atmosphere, and knowing that that's been there since the beginning.
Oh, that's a great idea. I underlined that very harshly. So Collins Bookstore,
and I have to second the boat shed. We went there for the first time. We sat there and watched the swans swim past our table virtually. Absolutely beautiful, and the best calamari I've ever tasted, and the best banana sundae. Brilliant.
So that's the boat shed on Lake Wintery. Oh, over five now. Someone's going to have to be dropped in order for us to make it. What about the record store? Lots of people saying, no, I reckon there's another record store that we could go to. Have you got multiple record stores? Maybe he could do two.
My daughter lives there and we get to visit. We're very lucky because we can just go there wherever we want. But I haven't done the record store, no.
All right. Okay. We'll keep that on the list.
Somewhere to go.
Good on you, Shirley.
Okay.
Thank you. Really good ideas. All right, at the moment we've got Pat's Sandwiches, Rediscovery Records, we've got the Boat Shed on Lake Windery, Cryle Castle, the Botanic Gardens, and now Collins Bookstore as well. We might have to, you know, maybe the list. Can we go to 10? No, we've got to go to 5. We're just going to have to be strict. But keep them coming through. Amanda says, my partner and I went to Spilt Milk a couple of goes. This is the couple of years ago. This is the festival that hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar will be headlining this weekend in Ballarat. It was so great. I'm looking at going again. Yes, Ballarat has become a foodie destination. So I am learning.
On the ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
The list is getting longer and longer. The Tramway Museum. Gosh, Ballarat has got a lot going on, doesn't it? I'm learning so much. Kendrick's got to have a beer at the historic bar at Craig's Hotel. All right, that's going on the list. Well, Warwick Long, the host of the Country Hour, which it is a big, big, big day for the Country Hour today and this year, because was maybe we can take you fly fishing in Ballarat as a way to celebrate, because the Country Hour turns 80. Happy birthday, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Rochelle. We're actually in Rapanyup today, so I know Ballarat's getting the love on your program, but out here in Rapanyup's a pretty good place to be too, right? It's a lot of fun, and for an 80th birthday here, you eat a little bit of a cake with chickpea flour, made with chickpea flour, and you hang out with what looks to be 50 or 60 of our friends, and that's before we even go to air. So I'm a little bit worried we've underestimated with the size of the venue, but it should be a lot of fun.
So for those who don't know, the Country Hour is one of ABC Local Radio's longest-running radio programs.
Yeah, it is the longest, Guinness World Record, longest-running radio program in Australia. On December the 3rd, 1945, hosted by Dick Snedden, who was a livestock auctioneer out of Scone in New South Wales, the Country Hour started broadcasting. It happened because Australia needed to produce more food, not only for itself, but for the world, and to help our economy coming out of World War II. It also needed to teach returned soldiers how to farm. There was a lot of returned soldiers coming, taking up soldier settlement blocks, starting to farm in Australia, and they needed a way of teaching people how to farm food. So it served many purposes, but it started there and has been going for 80 years since. There's one in every state. There's also one in the Northern Territory, and we continue to this day.
And Warwick, you're having a live broadcast today to celebrate this particular day. People can listen, obviously, on the Listen app. For regional listeners, they can listen in live. I just the line's not great that we have with you, but I just sort of have, I guess, one more question, and hopefully it will hold up. The importance of a show like the Country Hour to locals, to community in regional and rural Victoria, it's not just about radio and entertainment. Sometimes it's about lifelines. It's about vital information. You know, we might squeeze the weather cross here and, you know what, doesn't matter. You don't find out whether it's going to be 26 or 29 tomorrow. However, things like the weather, things like the stock markets are so different and are so important for our regional and rural listeners.
Oh, it's hugely important. That's why we place such a huge focus on the weather and things like livestock markets. Also things like emergency broadcasting during difficult periods as well. The Country Hour is often the program that comes out first when there is a disaster, and it's also the program that comes out many times in the years of recovery as well. And look, I'm a little bit touched today too, Rochelle, because it is our birthday and I invited people down. I thought maybe 20 people would come. And if I can ask everyone to give us a cheer, you might get some idea of what's happening. Yeah, so there's a lot of people here. So it's pretty amazing, and that says a lot about our connection with our audience. So sorry about the line, but
it's good now. So don't move. Don't move. Don't go anywhere, Woz. So for you as a broadcaster, I mean, I've had the privilege of working with you, of course, on the Conversation Hour, and I've known you for a really long time. To take on almost the responsibility of hosting a show like the Country Hour, it must have meant something to you as well, Woz.
Oh, it really does. And what is great about this program, I think, and hosting it compared to other radio programs, is it's not a cult of personality. It's not the Warwick Long Show. It's the Country Hour. Mm. And it's been going for 80 years. And it connects you to people like Dick Snedden or to John Henwood or to Libby Price, to Nikolai Bailhuts, to Marius Cumming, all these people who came before you. And it also connects you to the Angus Verleys and the Jane McNaughtons and the Justine Longmores who are here with us today, who also present as well when I'm not there. And it means you're part of something bigger than yourself. You're part of something 80 years old. And that takes a lot of weight with it, a lot of responsibility, but it's also a lot of fun because you get to put your mark on something that's wonderful and hopefully the next person gets to do the same. So you're all connected together in this strange big world, in this longest running radio program of Australia, and long may it continue, because I like having a job and this one's really, really fun.
That's really important as well. There's a lovely text here that says, the Country Hour interviews, it's like two people having a chat over the fence because their reporters really know their stuff. And that's from Brian. And your rural reporters, they really do know their stuff. And it is such an incredible community. And they often drive really long distances. And you have to build trust. Like, you know, you cannot break that trust, Woz, because you can get a story once if you break the trust, but you'll never get it again. And to have a radio program broadcast in such a vital way for 80 years, that trust has been there for a long time.
Oh, certainly so. And this goes to our audience too. Our rural reporters only have the knowledge they have because of people like the people who are in this room with us today who want to share that information. They want to connect stories about regional Australia, about technology changes, about their frustrations with a government policy change with a wider public. The program started to air the countryman's problems to gain a sympathetic ear between city and country. And that wasn't about telling a story, a one-sided story. Sometimes we have hard conversations with our audience, right? And sometimes we have to tell them things they don't want to hear. But it also is that trying to bridge the city-country divide. It is trying to connect stories that are facing people in Rapanya Pier, less than 1,000 people, with somewhere like Melbourne, millions of people, where the bulk of the decisions are made politically or economically that affect this town are made there where you are, Rochelle. Mm. And it's about connecting those two things. So we may not be doing a good job because I don't know if it's getting closer or further away, that city-country divide, but we'll keep trying, right?
I love the idea of the Country Hour being created to air the countryman's problems, and now it will be the countryman and woman's problems as well, because we know even the profile of farmers, of those who work in agriculture or just those who live in regional and rural Victoria, that has changed so much. Was a happy birthday to the Country Hour. The Country Hour Victoria is in safe and good hands with you at the helm. This text, it says, Warwick, too humble. They've turned up because of him. He is so authentic and sincere. We love you, Woz.
Oh, I'll take that, but I'll give it to the whole team as well because they're pretty good too, right?
Oh,
look at that. Now you're making me blush in front of a crowd, Rich.
Well, I've always said, Warwick Long, rocking up to a dairy conference with you is like rocking up to a music conference with Mr. Brian Nankervis. So that's...
I think we're both in the right job then.
And I'm always the handbag. Good on you, mate. Have a great show. Happy birthday.
Love you, Rish. Thanks.
See ya. That's Warwick Long. The Country Hour turns 80. Isn't it incredible to think that a radio show across the entire country, different hosts in different states, why it was created, how vital it is, and to this day, the role that a show like that plays. If you're in the area, if you're down in the Wimmera, you can pop in and be a part of it with Warwick Long. You can listen on regional radio, of course, across your local ABC. Or if you're in Melbourne and you just want to listen to what all the fuss is about, then you can go to the ABC Listen Up and you can look for Country Hour Victoria. My name's Rochelle. This is the Conversation Hour. We've also been talking about the list of the itinerary list that Kendrick Lamar should take, should pop into his back pocket. Huge hip-hop artist. He flies into Melbourne today, performing in Melbourne. However, he'll be headlining a festival in Ballarat over the weekend. He's not staying for long, so we're trying to change that. What else can he go to? This, I like this idea. It says, what about just walking around or driving around all of the local streets in Ballarat to look at all the great old houses? Those old houses rule. See, I would do that. That's like one of my favourite things to do. Rish, in Ballarat, would he get a thrill seeing the magnificent display of Christmas decorations put up by the Ballarat Council? Don't know. Are they any good? Maybe. And another record store has been mentioned to pop into Crank Wolverine Records in Ballarat. That's from Michelle. And Midtown Cellars on Sturt Street. It's a bar. It's a bottle shop. You can pick out your own unique brew and you can have it right there. It's a must. That's from Jacinta. I feel like I'm breaking all of the ABC editorial guidelines here. However, this is about making that itinerary list for Kendrick Lamar.
ABC Listen app, your smart speaker, and on AM radio.
This is the Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
And some lovely messages coming in for Warwick Long. He's the host of the Country Hour. They celebrate their 80th birthday. So the Country Hour is the longest running radio show that the ABC has. I think it's in the Guinness Book of Records. It might be like the longest radio show in Australia ever to this day. But lots of messages coming in saying, so lovely to hear from Warwick. I really have valued his insights and his local knowledge and empathy, especially when it comes to working in regional Victoria. As well. And another says, cheers to Warwick and to the Country Hour crew. I listen every day. Happy birthday. So you can keep those messages for Woz and for his team coming through on text as well. 0437 774 774. We're making our list, our itinerary list for Kendrick Lamar, hip hop artist. Food is running really high. We've got a schnitzel sandwich from Pat's. Record stores, there's two record stores that we've got listed as well. The boat shed on Lake Windaree, or maybe even just going for a little walk around Lake Windaree is on the list. Cryle Castle, the Botanic Gardens, and Collins Street Books. So that's on the list at the moment. You can keep those coming through. But let's talk high fashion, like the highest of fashion. So the Italian fashion group Prada has just purchased their rival, and that is the fashion brand Versace. And they purchased it for a cool $2.2 billion. $1,500. So why? And what does this mean not just for Prada? What does it mean for Versace? And what does it tell us in general about the state of high-end luxury fashion? Joy Marshall is a fashion designer and lecturer in fashion at Swinburne University. A cool $2.2 billion deal, Prada buying out Versace. Joy, what does this tell you? I mean, how significant is this?
Thanks for having me, Rochelle. It's a major moment for luxury fashion. Two of the most influential Italian fashion design houses coming together, and rivals as well, which is quite interesting. I think it's going to be really interesting for the luxury fashion sector, particularly because they have really struggled in recent years. So Versace in particular has really struggled to maintain that luxury high fashion status. And Prada have always kind of held this legacy. So it's going to be a really interesting dynamic going forward.
So Prada is quite posh. It's very straight. It's uber luxurious, but it sort of doesn't have, it's very understated. Versace, it's all sort of bells and whistles and gold. It's the complete,
completely opposite.
I don't understand this relationship.
Yeah, I think what's going to be really important and really difficult is the extreme balancing acts that this merger is going to have to take. I mean, the most important thing is that both brands kind of maintain their own identities. I think what will be really great for Versace is that Prada have such a really incredible, strong history of manufacturing and taking that craftsmanship of fashion quite seriously. So I think they will be able to increase the complexity and the craftsmanship of Versace fashion. However, I don't think taking down that minimalistic approach of Prada is going to help the Versace brand. So it's going to be a really tricky balancing act for both brands.
The Versace Hotel, is it in the Goldie, in the Gold Coast?
Yeah.
And I've never been. I'd actually love to check it out. But it's quite, you know, it's very Versace. It's very OTT. Will that be influenced in any way? Will the Versace hotels become Prada hotels? What will, either way, happy to go to either?
Yeah, I think that each brand will maintain its own identity. They might have slight changes. However, I think they will continue their own identities. I think this really reflects kind of a much bigger trend in luxury fashion at the moment, which is just getting more competitive. And with the cost of living crisis and things like that, people aren't going out and spending massive amounts on luxury fashion as they used to. And therefore, this kind of relevancy, particularly here in Australia, is going to become more difficult at a luxury high fashion house. So I do think, you know, those hotels and cafes, you know, the everyday consumer loves those kind of touch points. You know, if you can't afford a Prada bag, you might be able to go and afford to have some avo toast at a Prada cafe. I think we will continue to see the identities grow in separate areas, but each brand will kind of be able to support each other. And I think this is a trend we're seeing across lots of luxury fashion houses, more groups coming together and supporting each other rather than acting in separate silos. Because Versace over the past couple of years has had a real troubled time and very uncertain around the future of its own business.
And even though most of us will never own, you know, Prada or Versace, given Versace's history, it would have been sad to have seen it disappear and collapse, you would think.
Absolutely, yes. I did kind of say to Swinburne that perhaps I need a Prada bag for research for this story today. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I think what is quite interesting is that Prada have in the past had some unsuccessful acquisitions of brands. So I think there is kind of this long and dark shadow looming and a lot of pressure for the Prada brand to make sure that the Versace legacy doesn't go. I mean, when we think of Gianni Versace and Donatella, there's a real rich family history behind that brand, and I think it'd be really sad for it to go.
Given how good dupes are, that copies are and replicas are now, has that had anything to do with the downturn in sales of high-end luxury stores? I'm always always amazed, right, when if I go to a big shopping centre like Chadstone, there are queues of people standing behind velvet ropes to go into some of these places. And my brain is like, who are these people? Where are you getting your money from? What is going on? But at the same time, we're seeing, just anecdotally, I'm seeing more and more people just carry designer handbags. And a little part of me is going, they can't all be real. Has that had an impact on the top-end luxury brands?
Definitely, it does hit their profits a little bit. I think from a luxury brand perspective, they still love it because the branding and the image and the want of these products is all out there, and I guess it's kind of free marketing for them. What isn't so great about that is just the slave labour and the really poor conditions of some of those products come along, but particularly here in Australia, we do love a fake dupe, and they just seem to be getting better and better.
Yeah. I mean, there's almost, you see just through your social media feeds, status around good quality fakes. I'm like, but hang on a second, there's still fakes as well, and that comes at a cost to people. There's a really interesting question here from Chris in Surry Hills, and it says, Rish, can you please ask if Prada is independent or independently owned, or is it a majority owned by some other entity? That's a really good question. I mean, is there a family? Is there a Prada family?
The Prada Group is another holdings company that has a few different brands. So they have the younger brands are part of that group as well. So most luxury fashion houses do have their own kind of holdings group now, which hold a portfolio of different luxury fashion houses. I would say it's kind of sad that, I mean, Versace really started as a family fashion luxury house and then has gone into holdings groups like a lot of the big fashion houses today. I think it's quite sad to see some of those big family luxury fashion businesses go into holding companies and groups and things like this. But I think to sustain the global competitiveness and the global reach that these brands have, they do have to kind of come together to survive in this quite complex and competitive landscape.
Emma, who's in Ballarat, which we've been talking about, says the Palazzo Versace on the Goldie, it closed in 2023. I mean, I haven't fact-checked that, but that's what Emma tells us. So, well, have a look. Yeah, My listeners are very clever.
Yeah, we are seeing more and more of those kind of entities close and fashion brands kind of go back to their core business, which is making really great craftsmanship of fashion. So when we think of Prada, they have really excellent craftsmanship of products. So what I do really hope for Versace is that we do start to see a little bit more high quality products without, you know, keeping that flamboyancy and erotic kind of style.
Do you spend much time, random question without notice, Jai Marshall, as a fashion designer and lecturer in fashion at Swinburne? You would be excited that hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar is in Australia, is touching down in Melbourne, maybe as we speak. He's heading to Ballarat on the weekend. We're going to try and keep him there to visit some local places in Ballarat. What do you think he'd be into? Is he wanting to go and check out the local op shops and fashion record stores?
Yeah, I think the particular style there, I think, is really looking at some of those op shops. I think Melbourne in particular has a great op shop range, and I'm hoping that perhaps maybe he stops over in Brunswick or some of those more edgier suburbs to pick up some fashions before heading out to Ballarat, I think would be quite the way to go.
And speaking of high-end, is Kendrick Lamar a model, has been doing some modelling for Chanel, is that right?
I'm not particularly, I'm not quite across that, okay. But I think, you know, all these celebrities always have some kind of touch point with a fashion house because they just bring so much attraction to these products. I mean, any kind of celebrity endorsement, we see luxury fashion houses go all out. And I think it does just try and keep that relevancy to luxury fashion houses. I think a lot of consumers get quite confused who are buying these really expensive products. But when they do see a celebrity take on some of these products, you know, the aura around that is just incredible.
Good to speak with you, Jai. Thank you. Jai Marshall, fashion designer and lecturer in fashion at Swinburne University. So Prada has bought Versace. That doesn't impact any of us in any real way, but still, it's very interesting. We've been talking about the top five places that Kendrick Lamar should visit when he's in Ballarat. Hip-hop artist touched down in Melbourne, going to Ballarat to headline a festival there on the weekend. However, we've been told it's just a fly-in, fly-out, so we're trying to get him to stay. We've been coming up with a really good list. Rish, Kendrick definitely needs to have a real cup of coffee at Cobb's and a mushroom sandwich and then walk up Lilliard Street with one of the loveliest streets in Ballarat, showing all the wonderful old historic buildings. Also, the Christmas lights that someone else mentioned. Belinda agrees. She's in Ballarat. Daria's in Ballarat North. Ooh, Daria. Okay. What should we add to the list, Daria?
Well, I think if he wants to go to a record store, he should visit Kank Wolverine Records in Main Road. It's just up the road from the Bridge Mall. And it's a fantastic record store. It says coffee. And out the back in the back room, there's always an art exhibition going on that showcases local artists.
And how's the mall looking at the moment? Like, you know, sometimes malls are, they can be a bit dodgy.
Well, the mall has just been revamped.
Yeah.
It was empty for a long time. A lot of shops were empty, but they've revamped it, redesigned it. They've put a road back in through it, which is very interesting because it hasn't had a road in it for a very long time. And a lot of new shops in the mall now. So it's quite a nice place to go and visit.
All right. So, Daria, you can be my official Ballarat spokesperson. Our list for Kendrick Lamar at the moment is a sandwich, a schnitzel sandwich from Pat's. Two record stores, so we can go to Wolverine and to Rediscovery Records. The Boat Shed on Lake Windoree. Cryo Castle. What do you think?
All pretty good. They're all pretty good. But if he wants to go to Cryo Castle, you've got to spend all day there.
Okay. So maybe we should cross that off. What about the Botanic Gardens or Collins Bookstore? Which one's better out of those two?
Well, if you're going to go to a bookstore, I would go to Known World Books. And it's just two doors down from Kank Wolverine Records. So there you go. And it's the most incredible bookstore. You go in there and you're in a different world. It's beautiful. And, it's just gorgeous.
Daria, you're a wealth of information. I reckon, how can he not stay for at least 48 hours? Are you going on the weekend?
No, but my son is.
Great. All right. Well, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you. There's so many places we didn't even get on the list. Try a country roast for his lunch with great roast meats and vegetables and then dessert at the Yacht Club on Lake Windoree. Best pav in the world. Wow-wee, that's from Shane. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Take care and we'll speak to you soon.